Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, it really must have been an interesting sight. The disciples had gone into town to get some food, and they came back to find Jesus still at the well, but talking to a woman. And not just any woman, but a Samaritan woman. And not just any Samaritan woman, but a woman who had a rather loose reputation. She'd been married 5 times, and now she was living with a guy. So what did Jesus want with her? Now, although the disciples didn't verbalize anything, they were certainly thinking some pretty interesting thoughts. Scripture tells us that they thought, "What do you seek? Why are you talking with her?" Could you imagine some of the other thoughts that perhaps they had? Does Jesus really know what kind of woman this is? She's going to ruin his reputation and ours. We won't even be able to find a curbside to sit on the next time we come through here. We probably should have left somebody here with him. How are we going to explain this to the people in the temple? Rather than address the situation directly, they sidestepped it and said, "Rabbi, eat." Perhaps they thought Jesus' blood sugar was low and that maybe some food would set him straight again. But Jesus confounded them further with his reply, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." Now they were really confused. Had someone brought him something to eat? Jesus answered, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." While the lesson before us today really hinges on that first verse, specifically those unasked questions thought by the disciples, the resolution to the conflict between what Jesus wanted and what the disciples perhaps thought should happen, or at least expected to happen, lies there in Jesus' reply to their question about eating. You see, Jesus' concern was not for his physical stomach. He was not worried about where his next meal would come from. He didn't find fulfillment in the things of this world. His desire was for the eternal welfare of that woman's soul. That's what filled him. That's what kept him going. Perhaps if the disciples had actually asked that question, the one from the first verse of the lesson, "Why are you talking with her? Why are you talking to that woman, the one that nobody cares about or perhaps doesn't want to care about?" Perhaps if they would have asked, they might have received an answer, maybe something like this: "I'm talking to her because I want her. I have come that she might have life and have it to the full." Jesus was filled by the desire to reconcile this woman and the entire world to himself. Where do we fit into all this? We're right there with the disciples. We're part of the group that St. Paul wrote to the Philippians about when he said, their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. Like some of Jesus' followers, we often look for a bread king. And the more that we can do to help this situation, the better. At least that's the way we see it. We surround ourselves with the right people. We drive the right kind of car. And we're seen in all the right places. Perhaps even church on Sunday morning. We want to be seen as upstanding moral people in our community. But just don't ask us to get our hands dirty. Don't ask us to do anything. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. But what has become our God? Is it indeed our belly? Is it earthly things? Is it a concern for what we want? Believe it or not, we here at the seminary are not immune to this. How wide are your friendship circles? And what does it take to get into that circle? Is your concern for the spiritual welfare of those you come in contact with? Or is it for how you appear to others? You see, this text is not about what you want. It's not about what makes you comfortable. It's about Jesus. Those Samaritans that followed the woman back to Jacob's well were not on the Jewish people's A-list, but yet they realized exactly what it was that Jesus came to give them. And they stated it simply to that woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is the Savior of the world." You and I aren't going to save the world, especially if we look at the company that we keep. But thanks be to God that we don't have to worry about that. When Jesus uttered that word, tetelestai, it is finished, from the cross, he meant it. He meant that everything that needed to be done for you, for me, for the person sitting next to you, for that woman at the well, everything needed to be done for their salvation has been accomplished. Before his ascension, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." That water that was poured, that was sprinkled, that was dunked over you, drowned the old Adam in you. It took those sins that were scarlet, and now you are whiter than snow. OxyClean has nothing on the power of baptism. Each day, you are able to rise, a new man to live before God in righteousness and purity. The body that was broken and the blood that was shed at Calvary touched our lips and healed our lives, not just yesterday here, but every time that we receive it. That word that is preached into our ears announces to us the good news of Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection for the forgiveness of of our sins. And when the opportunity is given, we get to hear that good news with our names attached to it. And what really makes all of this so cool is that it's not just for us. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world." And he also said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." We get to be the vessels that he molds, that he uses to take that message to Jerusalem and to all Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Some of you will go to places where the seeds have already been planted. Some of you will go to plow new ground. Some of you will go to bring in the harvest. And still others will get to do all of these in one place. But all will be used by God to accomplish his work. You see, Jesus wants everyone, even that Samaritan woman at the well. That's what Epiphany is all about. The light of Christ shining into all the world. We sang, "The people that in darkness sat, a glorious light have seen. The light has shined on them who long in shades of death have been." Thanks be to God. Amen.